Praise God. So the title of the message this morning, this Christmas message, is Christmas number one. Christmas number one. Today is the day, apparently, well, tonight actually it will be when the official Christmas number one for 2014 will be announced. According to the official charts company, who's heard of the Wheelstone Raider? I never heard of him until yesterday. Apparently he's just entered the charts at number five with Got No Fans. He's just a wee builder guy who's a football fan who became a YouTube sensation when somebody posted a video of him having a go at a fellow football fan from an opposing team. So now he's released this single and it hit the charts at number five. And he's saying to Simon Cowell, "You got no fans." Because again, it's a challenge against the X Factor, of course, Ben Haynau's song. But apparently, shot to fame on YouTube after he was walking his football rivals and threatening to give him some. So now he's saying to Simon Cowell, "You got no fans." He's saying, "Simon Cowell, do you want some? I'll give it to you." This old geezer man with it. Incredible. I had a wee look at it last night, but anyway, but I heard about it. So there's a big battle on, and things have changed. The landscape has changed phenomenally since last Monday when I first looked to see what was happening, and lots of different things. But the official charts company chief executive Martin Talbot said the week of the Christmas number one race is always among the most exciting in the official singles chart calendar, and early data indicates that we have a genuine battle on our hands in 2014. By Sunday we will know who has won out, but for the moment the race is on. So there you have it. There's even Iron Maiden have even released a song, Number of the Beast. Yep. So there you go, to try and crack the Christmas number one. But I don't think they've got much of a chance. But anyway, every year there's a big race to be the Christmas number one, and the world tries to find a song that will lift its spirits and that will be the anthem of the current season. They can play all their office parties and all of the other stuff and all of the other jamboree kind of stuff that goes along with supposedly Christmas and the Christmas spirit. And you know, some songs have actually made it to the Christmas top spot on more than one occasion. Do They Know It's Christmas? Again, it's been released again. It's been number one actually for three generations of Band Aid, 1984, 1989, and 2004, and is now a contender again this year, but again, it doesn't stand much of a chance with Band Aid 30 years since its first release. And bands like the Beatles, Spice Girls have managed three consecutive Christmas number ones, Beatles in the 60s and the Spice Girls in the 90s. I'm just giving you a wee bit of background here. Really exciting stuff, interesting stuff. Amen. So the first successful attempt, apparently, to exploit Christmas itself was by Slade with Merry Christmas Everybody in 1973. Who remembers that? I do. Many of us. Followed the next year, of course, by Mudd and Lonely This Christmas. I bet that struck a chord with a few folks. So since then, there's been several songs, apparently, that have reached the Christmas number one spot with a Christmas flavour. Some even having a true Christmas message. Johnny Mathis sang When Our Child Is Born in 1976. Boney M did Mary's Boy Child in 1978. And Cliff Richards topped the charts in 1990 with Saviour's Day. But that was popular with a lot of people. But the reality is, folks, that there's only one true way to lift your spirit. And so that's why I want us to begin today with the original Christmas, number one. Because the original Madonna's first hit single that is still included in the ongoing top-selling album, which is, of course, the Bible. But anyway, I'll give you a little bit of background on that one first. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now, hallelujah, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now following a prophetic declaration by Elizabeth, remember it says that how the child that was within her leapt in her womb. John the Baptist, who was there growing inside of Elizabeth, leapt within her when she saw, when she encountered Mary. And then so she brings a prophetic declaration over Mary, and then Mary releases the Madonna's first Christmas number one. Hallelujah. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry one with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Who knows, her song was later given the title, The Magnificat. Remember, that was the original Christmas number one. What happened to Mary? She had received the seed of God's word into her life. The seed containing the genetic information of perfect DNA, the divine nature of the Almighty. Why? Because she made a very simple statement. She said, Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me just as you say. Let the King of the kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be to me. Is that the cry of your heart this morning? My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. What happens when you magnify the Lord? Everything else just pales into insignificance. Yeah. Oh, everything else that's attacking your soul, everything else that is coming against you, just pales into insignificance. When you choose to magnify the Lord, when your spirit rejoices in God your Savior, hallelujah, everything else just becomes as nothing. Hallelujah. Come on. Let it be to me according to your word. Why? Because your word is always good. It's always acceptable. It's always perfect. Hallelujah. Always releases your perfect will in my life. Let it be to me. Let the King of the kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the miracle of the first Christmas is explained in John chapter 1. In verse 1 and then verse 14 it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14 it says, And the Word, this is the miracle of the first Christmas, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The miracle of the first Christmas is the Word became flesh. Romans 8:29 says that Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn among many brethren. That's why we must be born again. Jesus said, You must be born again. You must be born from above. What happens when you're born again? You're born again with the divine nature of the Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, and then verse 47 says this, And so it is written. So it is written. So the word declares, The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man is from the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. That tells you something. In 1 Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, If any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he has become a new creation. The old has gone. The old soulish sin nature is gone. Spirit life has come. The new righteousness nature has come. The law of the Spirit of life, it says in Romans chapter 8, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer bound by the law of sin and death. I'm now operating and living according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Hallelujah. Who knows, as a result of Mary's willing obedience, as a result of her faith, an announcement was made at Jesus' birth. At the entrance of the Word in the flesh, an announcement that still impacts all people everywhere in every generation, because Mary said, let it be to me according to your word, because Mary was willing to carry that word full term. I want to tell you, whatever song is announced as the Christmas number one for 2014, it will soon pass into chart history. Just become another fact that somebody will memorize and others will just forget. Even if it makes another appearance at a later date, like the Band-Aid, whatever, what's it called again? Do they know it's Christmas? But I want to tell you, the announcement made on the first Christmas is as relevant today as when it was first given. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you, somebody help me, good news. Say good news. Good news of great joy that will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Aren't you glad that God sent his gift wrapped? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. On earth, glory to God in the... I want to tell you, when you begin to give glory to God in the highest, you release something into the earth. Glory to God in the highest. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. The original Christmas number one that we still need to be singing today. It's still number one. Hallelujah. It'll always be number one. My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Well, a wee confession to make. This message today is actually arisen out of something that I've been meditating on for some time, and so I thought I had to wrap it in Christmas paper. That's what all that stuff about Christmas number one was all about. But it says in verse 18, it says, and all those who heard it marvelled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept, listen to this, verse 19, but Mary kept all those things and pondered them. Many people marvelled at the things they heard. I want to tell you, there's people show up in church every Sunday and they marvel at the things they heard, and then before they're out the door, it's gone. Jesus said, when the word comes, when the sower sows the word, the thief comes immediately, the devil comes immediately to steal that word out of your heart. If he doesn't succeed in that, then he brings pressure against you until he finally shuts down the power of that word in your life. Unless you're diligent like Mary. Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20 says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. See, it's been troubling me, folks, for a long time, that it would appear that people can have all the information they need to receive everything from God, and yet they still fail to receive. It would appear that they have all the information, they've been supplied with all the information, the shepherd has brought them all the information that they need to receive from God. They may even have marveled at the things that they heard, and yet it still seems there's a failure in their ability to receive. That bothers me. As a shepherd, that bothers me. As a shepherd, it bothers me that I go out every Sunday morning, scatter food in front of sheep, and it seems like some of them may be eating it, and yet it seems like it's not doing them any good. But I believe there's a key here to help us understand how to receive every time. Who knows? God wants us to receive every time, in every situation, in every circumstance, because He's made more than enough provision for every one of us. It's good news to all people, everywhere, in every circumstance, in every situation that they might encounter. Regardless of their history, regardless of even whether it's their own fault that they're in that mess. Who remembers that 30 years later, it was Mary's faith that actually launched Jesus' supernatural ministry at the wedding of Cana. When she made a statement, when they ran out of wine, she told the servants, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. Because 30 years ago, I said, let it be to me according to your word. And there he is. He's the word made flesh. Whatever he says to you, whatever the word says to you, do it. I know I've taught this principle many times. Who knows, it's not just information that you need. Information is important. Every Sunday morning I come in here and I share information with you. And I'll get to that maybe in a minute. Hallelujah, or two or four, or a few more. I know I've taught this principle many times, but sometimes I don't think people realize that you have to take personal responsibility to apply principles. In fact, let me just say, that somebody showed up at my house one night, with her husband, and she said, I saw this in the store today and I bought it and I wanted to bring it to you and I wanted to give it to you because I want you to know that you're my pastor. You know, she never showed up in church ever again. It's been lying in my cupboard for a number of years now, just sitting there in the corner. And I think how many times is that the case? I mean, many other people have said to me, oh, pastor this, pastor that. And I think, you can call me pastor all you like, but I know that you don't take nothing that I say that seriously. Because if you had, it would have revolutionized your life. Many people marveled when they heard what the shepherd said, but Mary pondered these things, kept them in her heart. 30 years later, it launched Jesus. It launched the supernatural ministry of the Word made flesh, and it began to bring glory to God. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody help me. Because that's what it's all about, ultimately. My soul magnifies the Lord. I'm getting a wee bit ahead of myself here, but I want to tell you, I've had one of the worst weeks I've ever had in my whole life. I felt more pressure against me in the last week, against my soul, against my mind, and by attacking my mind, trying to get to my body. But I made a decision a long time ago. And my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Amen. And I could use some language here right now that may not be very appropriate. But I want to tell you something. My God is faithful. Yes. My God is faithful. I've experienced pressure like you would. I don't tell people. I'm only telling you this morning because I want to tell you my God is faithful. You won't hear much of that's coming out of my mouth because I don't want to give any glory to the enemy. But I want to tell you, I understood fully what Paul spoke about when he said that he'd been given a thorn in the flesh. But he said, this is the reason that thorn in the flesh was given to me. He said, because of the revelation. Yeah. Because of the level of revelation I've received. How did he receive that revelation? Because he took the information that he downloaded from heaven and he counted it a precious thing. Mm-hmm. And he refused to let go of it. Even though he said there's a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him, to attack him, everywhere he went, bearing good news, bringing good news to people, trying to bring salvation and healing and deliverance to people. And everywhere he went, he was persecuted and attacked and rejected and cast out. And he went to the Lord, he said, come on, what is it with us? I'm bringing these folks good news. Can you not just remove this? The Lord said, my grace. He said, three times I went to the Lord, asked him to remove this mess. He said, but here at the same time. I want to tell you this morning, His grace is sufficient. And His grace is accessed one way, and that's by faith. And faith comes one way, and that's not just by hearing the word, but hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word. You've got to keep hearing that word from deep down in the inside of you. That word's got to keep speaking. Because you haven't let it be stolen from you. It's there, and it's still producing, and it's producing the life of God in you. Amen. See, I've seen something. Over the years, I've seen that just having information is not enough to receive anything from the kingdom. Many folks just hold that information, or they try and mentally retrieve that information when circumstances dictate that they might need it. They try and get it to work for them, and it seems to let them down. I want to tell you, information is vital, but it's only the first step in the process. It's when we respond to the information like Mary did. When we hear the information, our soul magnifies the Lord and our spirit rejoices in God our Savior. We don't just marvel at what we hear. We grab hold of it with both hands and we pull it down onto the inside of us and we say, I'm not letting anything get at this. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much pressure comes. I'm going to hold on to this. This is life to me. This is the anchor for my soul. This is the gift of God's love to me, and I'm not letting anything steal this from me. No circumstance. I tell you, I've seen some bad word stuff over the years. I've experienced some yucky, messy, horrible things. Some of it you might say maybe even my own fault. But I want to tell you God's word. Because of God's word, my soul can magnify the Lord. And my spirit can rejoice in God my Savior, even when everything else seems to have gone. Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. It's Christmas. Joy to the world. You're struggling, tickle yourself or something. Kickstart some joy, isn't it? I want to bring you something this morning that's going to help us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to take us to a new level. Yeah. Amen. You see, when we commit to carrying the information to full term, that's when we get the revelation that opens up heaven to us, that brings the transformation that only heaven can produce. Hallelujah. That brings glory to God. People have to say, that's God. That restores the wow factor. Wow, God did this. Only God could have done this. Only God. Only Him. It's not enough just to know about. Paul said that. I said, I heard everything all my life. I heard about Him. I had the best teachers in Israel tell me all about Him. But he said that I just count it as so much rubbish. Because that's not, I know that knowing about Him caused me to take a wrong direction in my life and pursue all of the wrong things and pursue all of the wrong people. It's not knowing about Him, it's knowing Him. He said, I've abandoned knowing about Him so that I might know Him. I've abandoned everything that I learned about Him so that I might know Him. Because by revelation, I'll experience the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul said, as I said before, because of the level of revelation he'd received, there was a demonic messenger assigned to him to oppose him, to frustrate him. Just like Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, the Pharisees were there. Stirring it up. Stirring it up. Stirring it up. He comes with good news and it's like people don't want to hear it. And persecution gets stirred up. It's also in these opportunities, it's also in these situations that you have the opportunity to access the supernatural grace that's always more than sufficient for every challenge. Amen? That's when you make the choice. Challenges will come. But I want to tell you, if you make the right choice in response to that challenge, you will experience supernatural change. Hallelujah. Supernatural transformation. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, I was teaching here on the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. And she came because she had heard about Jesus. She'd heard that Jesus could heal and deliver, and her daughter needed healing, and her daughter needed deliverance. And afterwards, on the next couple of days, after you preach and teach, you know, you don't just stop at the end. It's with you for a couple of days at least, you know. You're just going over it and over, and you're meditating on it. Because I don't, if you don't want it, I want it. I want to hear what I've got to say, even if you don't. Amen. I take it and I continue to meditate on it, and just like that cow chewing the cud, just like that sheep, just getting everything, extracting everything out of it. I began to just consider this and to hear more from heaven on this whole thing, and I began to realize that this woman had information. She'd heard that Jesus could heal and deliver, and she had a daughter who needed healing and needed deliverance. She had information, so she goes looking for Jesus with this information. And starts calling on him. Lord. Jesus. Come on. Will you come and heal my daughter? But the information wasn't having any effect. Information alone was ineffective when it came to getting healing and deliverance for her daughter. I want to tell you how many of you have tried taking the information that you had and trying to get something and you failed. Because I want to tell you, information is not enough. And it was when she encountered apparent failure, at that point she refused to let go of what she had heard. Because information is important. It's important that you hold on to that information. She refused to let go of what she had heard, so it went deeper. Not every seed that's sown comes up fruitful. To get a bit clearer with that, but I'll just leave it. It's when she encountered apparent failure that she refused to let go of what she'd heard, and she drew it in and it went deeper. And it produced revelation. And that revelation was the key to her receiving what she needed, and even receiving from Jesus a testimony that not many other people received. Women, great is your faith. Because when Jesus said, it's not right, women, for me to give the children's bread to the dogs, to the little dogs, she responded with that. Revelation broke loose in her. She said, hang on a minute, but even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the mat. That's revelation speaking. That's not a smart answer. That's revelation speaking. And Jesus said, women, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you have requested. Come on. And that moment, from that minute, her daughter was healed, delivered, set free from the demonic in her life. See, the shepherds received the message that it was good news to the whole world and to all people. That they'd received the message that it was shalom, the restoration of everything that was broken. And it was time for God's goodwill to be experienced by every person everywhere. Come on, that's the message that was declared. That was the message that came from heaven. The Word has been made flesh. He's come to show us. But He's the firstborn among many brethren. I want to tell you, it's time for the Word to be made flesh in all of us. We seem to be content to accept that the world's getting darker and that's how it's supposed to be. But I want to tell you, that's not the message of Christmas.
That's right.
That's not the message of Christmas. The Word became flesh, and it says in John chapter 1, the life that was in Him was the light of men. Because in Psalm 119 it says that the entrance of God's Word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Jesus turned to His disciples and he's turned to us and He's saying the same thing to us down through the generations, and He's saying, you are the light of the world.
Yeah.
If the world's getting darker, it's because your light ain't shining bright enough.
Right.
And if your light ain't shining bright enough, it's because you haven't given entrance to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't held on to that Word. He says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, the supernatural works of God, and they glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
As the Word becomes flesh in you and in me. When we begin to say, let it be to me according to your Word. When we join in with the first Christmas number one, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That's when the Word becomes flesh in us. Because the Scripture declares, as He is, so are we in this. Well, I know, see, that's information. That can just be information. I know what that says. I can tell you chapter and verse, brother. Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. I want to tell you, as He is in heaven, so are we on the earth. That's His plan. That's His purpose.
Yes.
He's restored dominion to us.
Yes.
I want to tell you, dominion has its root in humility. But people have traded off dominion for domination. Domination has its root in pride. We're not here to dominate. We are here to have dominion. Dominion releases blessing. Domination brings the manifestations of the curse. Domination is a manifestation of witchcraft. Word becomes flesh in us because as He is, so are we in this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to hear something this morning. Let's blow your little Christmas thing out your stockings. Hallelujah. Your stockings won't be big enough to contain this one. Hallelujah. As He is in heaven, so are we on the earth. I said, as He is, He's the Lord in heaven. That's why He's called the Lord of Lords. Because you're the Lord, you're a Lord on the earth.
Yeah.
He's the King of Kings. Big K, little K. He's the King in heaven. Because you're a King on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Not a King who seeks to dominate. That's why Peter wrote to the church, the elders of the church in 1 Peter chapter 5, it's recorded. He says, don't lord it over the brethren. You're not here to dominate. You're here to have dominion. Dominion releases blessing. You make no mistake, as He is in heaven, so are you on the earth. He's King in heaven, you're King on the earth. He is Lord in heaven, you're the Lord on the earth. And that has its root in humility, not in pride. Your will be done. Your word be fulfilled. Your word be made flesh in us. That's what you're praying when you pray that prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your word be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. Your word be made flesh in us. We are the light of the world. The world should be getting brighter, not darker.
Right.
And that will happen as the word becomes flesh in us, as His life manifests in us. The life that was in Jesus was the light. I want to tell you, persecution may arise because of the word. Jesus said that. He said, when the sower goes out to sow, there's certain stages that seed has to pass through before it can become fruitful. And one of these is that persecution arises because of that word. It arises because of the word. The persecution comes against the word to try and destroy the word. To try and steal the power from the word. To try and rob the word of its power. To produce that which will be fruitful. Because God is glorified when we bear much fruit. That's what a word says. Let that word become flesh in me, Lord. Produce much fruit in my life so that you might be glorified. Because my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I ain't interested in any two-bit religious naughty words. Bad name. I ain't interested in any garbage. Glory to God. I want to see God glorified.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in playing church. I'm not interested in churchiness or being popular or anything else, glory to God. I'm interested in seeing God's glory. That's all I want to see. I want to see His glory. I made a decision a lot of years ago. It cost a lot. Still costing. But I want to tell you, it's the best decision I ever made. Going by Saka, it's been a journey. Because I decided I don't want to just know about Him. I want to know Him. I've messed up, but I'll tell you, I can tell you some mess ups. I've blown it. I've got it wrong. I've messed with things I shouldn't have messed with. But I want to tell you, it's still burning in my heart. I want to see His glory. Because my soul magnifies the Lord. Because I've got one thing down the inside of me, and I finally got a hold of it. I said, Lord, there's only one way, and it's Your way. There's only one way to do this life, and that's Your way. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Persecution may arise because of the word, but that's when we need to let it go deeper. And I want to tell you, I'll guarantee you, it will produce the life of God in us as the word becomes flesh in us. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, we are entering a year of great change. We are entering a year of renewed awe in the presence of our Father and His glory. That's a choice. That's a decision you'll have to make. I'm giving you the information. I'm just standing here as a shepherd this morning. You can marvel at these words, or you can count them as nothing. But I want to tell you, even if you marvel at them, it's not enough. You've got to take them and hold them and pull them down deep in your life and say, yes, Lord, let it be to me according to Your word. Let this be a year of great change in my life. When people look at me and say, is that the same person? Just like they did when the blind man who'd received his sight, they said, he looks like the guy that used to be down the corner there begging. They'd know, he couldn't see nothing out of these blind eyes. He looks like him. He said, I am he. You need to be the one who stands up in your word. I am he. I'm the same person, all right. But I want to tell you, Kobo Shaka, I want to tell you what the Lord has done. I want to invite you to come and see what the Lord has done in me. I want to sit down a minute and I'll tell you what the Lord has done. Because my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. We're entering a year of great change. We're entering a year when there's an opportunity of renewed awe in the presence of our Father and the presence of His glory. But I tell you, our expectation needs to become for brighter and brighter and not darker and darker. You need to become so discontented with that garbage that says the world's getting darker and darker. You need to kick that garbage into touch. Because you're not here to agree with darkness. You're not here to agree with darkness. You're here to, come on, to shine. You're here to let your light shine. Glory to God. Our excitement needs to build as the word becomes flesh in us. So that our soul magnifies the Lord. So that our spirit rejoices. I want to tell you, see, I'm a shepherd, I said that before, I'm a shepherd, and I hear a word from heaven, and you know what I do with it? I pass that information on to you. That's why I come here this morning. Hallelujah. I thought, Lord, how are we going to wrap this? He said, I don't know if you gave me the insight or not, or if I just got it out of my own head, but I thought, Christmas number one, that'll work. God's given me a creative talent somewhere in there, glory to God, and hallelujah. Every end all comes from Him, amen. Whether you choose to use your gifts for Him or whether you choose to run with Him somewhere else. But I'm a shepherd. I hear a word from heaven. I'm here to pass that information on to you. But it's how we receive the information. It's how we respond to the opposition that comes to that information. Because not everybody that you share it with will want to hear it. Maybe you'll go home today and you'll start saying, oh, what was the cough talking about today? Oh, I want to tell you, God's heart for you is as He is, so are you in this world. As He is a king in heaven, you're a king on the earth. As He is Lord in heaven, you are here to be a Lord in the earth, not to dominate, but to take dominion. To learn that you have authority to say stop to the things that are bringing devastation in this world. You have the authority to call heaven and the earth, and the manifestation of heaven and earth. And expect to see a manifestation of heaven and earth. Expect to see a manifestation of healing where there's sickness. The manifestation of deliverance where there's oppression and bondage. See a manifestation of prosperity where right now there's poverty. to see light where there's darkness, to see glory where there's nothing here, right there, right now, but shame and reproach. You've got a right to expect that, because as He is, so are you. As He is in heaven, so are you on the earth. It's time to say, Lord, let Your word become flesh in me. Oh no, you see, I'm too humble. No, You're just too proud. That's Your problem. Because humility is the root of dominion. There's plenty of people who refuse to take dominion, but they're happy to carry on dominating. They'll carry on dominating their wives or their husbands or their fat children or their employers or their employees or whatever. We're happy to flow in a spirit of witchcraft instead of accepting the good news and saying, I'm here as He is, so am I. Hallelujah. I'm here to have dominion. I'm here to release blessing. Hallelujah. Remember, information, meditation, revelation will always result in transformation. How many times have we shared that over the years? The Lord gave me that many years ago. I've shared it over and over again. I'm just going to wind up in a few minutes. But you know, the Lord told Joshua that prosperity and success, who's interested in these things? Who knows that that's God's heart? He has a good, acceptable and perfect will. And that's what the angels announced at the birth of Jesus, that it's time for that to happen in the earth, for all men to experience these things. And the Lord told Joshua that prosperity and success come through meditating on the Word day and night. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, Blessed. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Maybe you're saying that. But his delight is in the law, the word of the Lord. And in his word and in his law, he meditates day and night. He meditates day and night. It's easy during the day, I want to tell you, it's tougher at night. I can testify to that. I can testify to some long nights. But I want to tell you, you keep a hold of that word. You make that decision. My soul magnifies the Lord. It might feel as if everything's about to break loose and shipwreck's about to happen, but you hang on to that word, you're getting to the other side. It might be a long night, but I want to tell you, the morning is coming. Come on, I want to tell you, daylight, the sun will arise again. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. It might be a long night. Go, Robo, you men, I tell you, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. In His law, in His word, He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. To meditate, the Hebrew word haggah means, it means to imagine, it means to be near Holy Ghost imagination reignited. It means to meditate, it means to mourn, it means to mutter, it means to roar, something, you get that word out. It means to growl, grrr. Let that word do your growling for you. I said it before, the Lord showed me many years ago, that because the word of God tells us that the devil comes like a roaring lion. The Lord showed me years ago that the roar He put inside of me is louder than the roar any roar the devil can come up with. Because the Word creates the roar. The Word produces the roar. It means to growl. It means to speak. It means to study. Hallelujah. There's only one Christmas number one for us. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. My soul. Let's just speak this out together. Let's speak this song out, this Christmas number one out together. Hallelujah. Let's do it together. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him. From generation to generation. He has shown strength
with his arm.
He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Let it be to me according to your word. I want to tell you, get ready for the word to be made flesh in you. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I've only got one response to that. Wow. Wow. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Glorify your name. Let there be a wow restored in the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.